Hi, this is Sean Harper, NFL lineman for the Colts, and you are listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Hey everybody, this is Jason DeZurek, and so glad you are tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent tonight. You can find out more information at EquippedGeneration.com. That's EquippedGeneration.com. And I have a wonderful interview for you guys today, but I want to just let you know you can go find out more blogs and podcasts, and we even have our new comic book that is there available as well for you to see and learn just more about how to be equipped to serve Christ in the world we have today. Our guest was born and raised in a Muslim, as a Muslim in Cairo, Egypt, and even in Gaza, and lived under Islamic law, which is Sharia. She lived in the heart of the Arab-Israeli conflict during even the 1956, 1967, and 1973 wars. And in fact, her father headed the Egyptian military intelligence in Gaza in the 50s. Under the leadership of President Nasser of Egypt. Now, friends, her father, unfortunately, was killed as well by Israel in Gaza in 1956. Now, our guest is an author, and we're going to get more to her book called The Devil We Don't Know. But let's just get to our guest here. Nani Darwish, how are you doing tonight?
Jason, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, we are so glad to have you with us, and I'm just encouraged to actually have you on the show because you have such a unique perspective about this being a woman and all and having to actually live under this law. Before we get to that, though, you know, what was it like? Can you just share with our listeners, as far as your testimony, what was it like living this life, and how did you come to know the Lord?
Well, I lived in a value system in the Middle East that's almost opposite to the Judeo-Christian values of America.
Okay.
In many, many ways. But, you know, the culture there has, Islam has emburdened it with values such as unforgiveness. That's why there is an Arab-Israeli conflict. The concept of forgiveness does not exist in the Muslim world when it comes to an enemy or what they perceive as an enemy. Recently, I was on Al Arabiya TV, and they are shaming me. They were shaming me on Arab TV for a half hour. That how could I forgive the people who killed my father? And it doesn't matter how many people my father's men killed there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. And by forgiving Israel to them, I have become a traitor to my father and to the country and to Islam. And it's almost like the ultimate sin is to forgive your enemy. So it is totally different. I lived in a very segregated society, gender segregated society, where also classism is very, very prominent, whereby if you come from a class, it's very difficult to mix on a natural basis with other, you know, the lower classes.
Okay.
Which is very, very different. I grew up in Gaza as a child. My memories as a child was in Gaza, in the heart of the Arab-Israeli conflict, in constant bombing, where the Egyptians and the Arabs just used Gaza as a shooting ground on Israel. And they shot at Israel from within, very close to the residential areas. So if Israel shoots back, they would hit a house. So that was, they never thought of that. Mm. I learned at school, vengeance, retaliation. I never learned anything about peace or forgiveness. These are totally alien concepts to them.
Okay.
And when I lived in it, I never thought of anything better. My religious leaders in mosques, when we heard the sermon, because girls and women never went to mosques, they only heard it on the radio or the TV, and all we heard were cursing, at the end, cursing of Jews and Christians as the enemies of God. So it's a totally different value system from here. So under Islamic law, all men are not created equal. So legally, you have different rights, less rights if you're a Christian and you live in an Islamic country. If you're a woman and you live in an Islamic country, your rights are different from men. Even your testimony in court is less valuable than a Muslim man. If you're a Christian or you're a woman, your testimony in court has a different value, has less value. So you can always imagine if you are a Christian or a woman, you must be very careful not to offend. You know?
Right. So now with that, with that, you're saying that certain people's testimony is looked at as less than, say, a man. You know, how do they determine that? Is it just if you're a man or is it a Muslim man? Or how do they determine that?
Yeah, well, it is stated very clearly in the laws of Islam that if you're a woman, your testimony in court is half the value of a man. And in certain serious crimes, a Christian's testimony is not even taken at all.
Okay.
As valid. So a Muslim can go to court against a Christian and he can say whatever he wants to say. And it's more valuable than the truth, even if it comes from the mouth of a Christian man. So this is the problem of Sharia, and a lot of people don't understand. They only talk about, honor killing, which is another big problem also.
Yeah.
So, for instance, there are three murders or four murders in Islam that are for a Muslim. If they do it, they're forgiven.
Okay.
Forgiven for a murder. Murdering an apostate. Somebody who leaves Islam is legitimate. So if I'm in the Muslim world, which I cannot visit anymore, I cannot go, because if anybody on the street kills me, they will never be prosecuted because I left Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So Islam forgives murder for certain crimes by anybody. So encouraging vigilante street justice.
Mm.
What a concept! It totally turns people against one another in the society.
Yeah, and
people don't trust each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you in your book, you're talking about how that's coming to America. How is that the case?
The problem, Jason, is that unfortunately the American government's policy with immigration is they are opening the floodgates to Somalia now, even to people from the West Bank, who are many of them belong to terror organizations, and not only terror, just many of them have been brought up to value the values I talked to you about, the jihad values. Jihad is defined in Islam as to war with non-Muslims to establish the religion. And it's the duty of every Muslim and every Muslim head of state. So how are these people going to adjust and assimilate in this country? It can't happen.
Mm.
I tried when I first came to America at the beginning. I tried to stay a Muslim and to assimilate, and I found that if I assimilate, then I'm going to be a traitor to Islam. I could not adjust to Islamic principles, so I left it. So there is, I believe there is, not all Muslims, of course, who are in America are like that, but a good portion. The American government is allowing, in time of war, a large number of Muslims. And even under the Obama administration, it has increased a huge number of immigrants from Somalia, from other, from many countries that are full of Al-Qaeda and terror groups, to come to America without, of course, you cannot even know. So they allow them in, and this is very dangerous for America because these are people who are hell-bent on conquering America from within. Mm. And unfortunately, our media, if we open our mouths, even me, when I speak, to inform the American public, to speak the truth, and tell the American people the danger we are going to face if we keep this policy continue. This policy of all religions are equal, the God of everybody is the same as a God of everybody, and anybody who criticizes Islam is an Islamophobe and a racist. That's what they're telling me. And how can I be an Islamophobe? It's not a phobia to be afraid of a religion that has a death sentence on your head. Mm-hmm. That is a real thing for me. And our media is trying to shame me, to silence me. There are groups on college campuses whenever I go to speak that demonstrate, and they insult, and they are brutal with me, even though I'm not saying, all I'm saying is quoting what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving them to figure it out.
Right, right.
And just by quoting what the Quran that I was brought up on says about Jews and Christians and non-Muslims, just by quoting it,
mm-hmm.
I'm yelled at, I am called names in America here. And that scares me because I'm the one who's under the death sentence, not them.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.